February 26th, 2008. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
It's episode 55 of the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with...
James Walker.
And we get together every week.
I think you can call it every week. We're on a roll.
We're on a roll. I think we've got 2 weeks going or 3 weeks going now. Every week or so. This will be the 55th time, so I think we've got some credibility. I think. I hope. And, you know, we talk about Drupal. Which is, you know, content management system, web application framework.
Call it what you favorite.
Call it what you will. It's all the rage. All the kids are doing the Drupal. And, you know, we got the podcast about it because apparently we just can't stop ourselves. Today we've got an interview with John Albin Wilkins, who's the maintainer of the Drupal Zen theme. That's also all the rage. All the kids are doing it. I don't know. Maybe they're not. But we got an interview with John and talked to him about some of the cool stuff he's doing in Drupal and the cool things that are happening with the Zen theme. This is actually, I was thinking about submitting this as a session for DrupalCon in Boston, which is happening next week. But John wasn't able to make it. So I figured we'd just do it as a podcast. You going to DrupalCon, James?
I am. You knew I was. Yeah.
I ask for the benefit of the people.
Right. Yeah. The whole Lullabot team will be in Boston for DrupalCon, giving talks, leading sessions, doing our thing. It's really great. If any of you listening have not been to a DrupalCon before, they are fun events. It's a great chance to meet Drupal people from all over the world. I think everybody goes away with, you know, heads stuffed full of new ideas and new projects and new code to write or new things to do. So a whole lot of fun.
We've ordered a big pile of T-shirts, a Lullabot T-shirt. So come, if you find a Lullabot, chances are they'll have Lullabot T-shirts on them at DrupalCon. So
yeah, we will be armed with swag. So
yes.
So hit us up.
Come find us and we will hook you up with all the T-shirts. You know,
look for the smiling red robots.
Yep, it's true. We've got workshops coming up. We're going to Australia, right, James? What else?
Yeah, we've got some interesting stuff on the workshop front. So, Melbourne, Australia, April 7th to 11th. It's going to be our first time holding workshops outside the continental U.S., so that's pretty exciting. Be doing a split week, kind of half of the week. First half of the week will be theming and jQuery stuff. And then second half of the week doing module development and API stuff. And it's, you know, as things are starting to come together, registrations open and people are starting to sign up, it's pretty exciting because it means it's really happening. And it's been an interesting thing. So the whole Australia thing came to be because Simon Hobbs of MSpace in Australia was at DrupalCon Barcelona last September, and he kind of approached us afterwards about doing some training in Australia. Simon's and his company MSpace have been doing some training and events and trying to put some stuff on in Australia, and so we've basically had conversations with
They're
Simon.
They're organizing like a little Drupal mini conference, right?
Well, they had a mini conference.
Oh,
and
that happened
working
already.
Yeah, they're working on a bigger one, and Simon's just doing great things with kind of promoting Drupal and you know, bringing new users and bringing existing users together in Australia. So we've had some really great kind of back and forth with them, and you know, it's resulted in, amongst other things, this week of Lullabot workshops in Australia. So and Simon and MSpace have just been fantastic in helping kind of coordinate some of the on the ground things, since there's a significant time difference between here and there. So that's been great, and I mean, personally, I'm getting excited because I've never been to Australia, and I think it's going to be a good time. And the people of Australia have been lovely so far to deal with.
And
so.
They've got palm trees. We were looking for pictures of Melbourne, and we found some beautiful palm trees that we've been using on the website as our picture of Melbourne. Because you know, you look for pictures of cities, and it's usually just like tall buildings. So you know, you try and look for something a little more scenic. So I'm excited that you know. Palm trees and sun. That's always nice.
Yeah, and we resisted the urge to use like crocodiles and kangaroos and things.
It is really difficult for us Americans to resist that, but
we're trying.
Figuring that probably the majority of people who are going to come are actually in Australia. They've already seen you know those things themselves. So yeah. But thanks to Simon and Caitlin both at M Space who've been really helpful in helping us put together that workshop.
Yeah, absolutely. So one other bit of workshop news. So we have, for anybody who hasn't seen it, we have actually a form on lullabot.com at lullabot.com/training/survey. Generally just, you know, to gather information about what people are interested for surveys, for workshops and things. And, so for any of you who have ever filled it out, just a reminder, we do actually read those. And we do actually take into consideration, the information that people are submitting and what people are asking for. And one of the big things that we've had requests for lately is, to hold workshops in the Midwest in the United States. So we tend to kind of do the East Coast and the West Coast and infrequently, you know, in the Midwest. So we've had.
It's what we call the flyover states.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we did host a weekend workshop in Chicago last summer, but haven't done anything there this year. Didn't really have anything kind of on the schedule in the Midwest until people started responding that they wanted, you know, something in the Midwest, please. So we are putting together a week in Des Moines, Iowa. It'll be March 25th to 29th. So it'll be kind of, you know, just after DrupalCon, you know, still fairly hot on the heels of the Drupal 6 release. So fairly good timing. So Des Moines, Iowa, for those who don't know, is home of two Lullabots. Both Liza Kindred and Haley Scarpino live in Des Moines. So, there is Lullabot relevance there and, So we will be, we're just kind of finalizing details on our venue and things, and then we'll be opening up registration possibly shortly after this podcast gets posted. So,
yeah. You can, and as usual, you can always come to, lullabot.com/mailing list, or basically all the pages on the Lullabot site have a mailing list, sign up on them. And so, you can go sign up for the mailing list and we'll let you know when we've got workshops coming up. And if you prefer not to be on the mailing list, you can always go to lullabot.com/training to see all of the upcoming workshops and stuff like that.
Yeah. And there's an RSS feed for that. And, plenty of ways to stay posted. So.
And if you don't know what an RSS feed is, you can come to the Lullabot workshops. And we will teach, or maybe we'll talk about it on a podcast or something.
Sure.
Cool. So I guess, so we've got the interview with John Wilkins, and then the next podcast will probably be the live podcast from DrupalCon. And so that's it. We're off to DrupalCon. I should also mention, that my band, current former band, I spent most of the 90s, in a van touring, most of North America, playing with my band Orbit. We're actually playing at DrupalCon, which will be a weird sort of meshing of the two worlds of Jeff Robbins.
Jeff just might explode.
I know. Yeah. Weird. But, so Tuesday night of DrupalCon, if you're at DrupalCon Tuesday night, there's a party at a club called Felt, that the people at Acquia are putting on. And Orbit's playing. We're going on, I don't know, relatively early, like 8 8:30, something like that. So come on down, check out Orbit. If you want more information about Orbit, you can go to orbitband.com, or there's a Wikipedia page about us. And I don't know, you can get our music on iTunes and Amazon and stuff like that. I think there's links to those things from orbitband.com. The party is a private party, so it's not actually listed on Orbit Band. Because, you know, it's a private party kind of thing, part of DrupalCon. And so you'll need your DrupalCon, there's like a flyer or something that Acquia has that's an invite for that. But, yeah, so hopefully we'll see you in Boston. And if we don't, maybe we'll see you in Melbourne and Des Moines. We're going everywhere. We're coming to your town. Knock you down
in a van.
No, that's
the other life.
Yeah, I know. so let's do this interview with John Wilkins. Here we go.
Sounds good.
John Wilkins, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So first of all, let's start with who you are and where you're from and all that kind of stuff. Where do you live and what do you do?
I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and if people are familiar with Phoenix, there's a giant mountain just to the south of downtown area, and I live on the other side of that mountain in the Ahwatukee area, and I'm a web developer. I've been doing web development since like 1995 or something ridiculously
old
like
school.
That.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on. Respect.
Yeah. So I was like, when I started doing web stuff, I was like really, really excited about the Netscape 1.0 betas that they were releasing.
Good times, man. I was there. Yeah. I was there with you. Ah, yes. The good days of Netscape Navigator Gold.
Anyway.
So have you worked in the web since then, or was it more of a hobby, or this is what you do now?
I was going to the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana at the time, and I was doing it sort of just a little bit sort of on my own while I was a student for a year or so. And then after I graduated, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this as my profession. So I've been doing it, you know, full-time since 96.
Cool. So, you were there for Web 1. The crash and burn of Web 1, and now the whole new Web 2 thing. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I was there when the Batman website was released, and it was all like one giant background image.
that was like cutting edge back then. That's
it was
great.
Totally cutting edge at the time. Yeah.
So how long have you been involved with Drupal?
Well, at the time, let's see, it's been a couple years now, maybe 2.5 years. I was looking for a CMS to use just for my I had my own business at the time, and I was looking for a CMS so I can just sort of get sites set up quicker for my clients. And it was really, really obvious that I didn't want to write my own, because I had written some frameworks before, and you know, because every developer does that, right? They're totally insane. But, hey, I'll just rewrite this thing; it'll be great. And of course, it sucked.
You know, when you realize people have hacked your sites in ways that you never even thought.
Well, it wasn't so much just the hacking. It was like, oh, I want to add this feature, and I'm like, I don't even have time to add the features to the stuff I'm working on, you know. So I started looking at CMSs, and I looked at Mambo before it became Joomla, and some other CMSs, Typo3 and Drupal, and at the time it was Drupal 4.6 that was available, and it didn't have the greatest interface, but
diplomatic,
yeah.
That's nice.
But I read a lot of reviews, and people who were developers said that they really liked the APIs of the Drupal system, and so I decided I would go with that and just try and make the front end, you know, better. And apparently a lot of people had the same idea, because it's gotten so much better since 4.6. So Forms API landed in 4.7, and you know, it's been great.
It's funny that you and I have a similar background. I mean, that's exactly the same sort of a route that I took into into Drupal as well. And now here I'm looking at the projects that you're working on, and it's a lot of the same ones that I've been involved in and have worked on myself as well. So, let's list off some of this stuff. So you've built several sites with Drupal. I guess it sounds like you at least were headed in that direction.
Definitely. There's a ton of, small business websites here in Phoenix that were, that I built and that are here. And, I've actually recently started working for Palantir, which is a company in Chicago, where Larry Garfield, Krell, works.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
And I've been working there for a little while, a couple months now. It's been great. It's been really good, actually, because it's given me an opportunity to work on websites that are much bigger in scope than I had, an opportunity to do when I was just by myself. So that's really improved my Drupal ninja skills.
Yeah.
Considerably. So.
Yeah, and lots of times I think when you work on bigger things like that, it tends to be maybe a bigger team or something. You could sort of put a little more focus on the specific things that you're working on, and generally good stuff. Yeah, cool. So let's talk about some of the things that you've worked on. We're going to talk sort of at length about the Zen theme that you and I have both worked on, and sort of where that's going and where that's been. But let's talk about some of the other things that you've done. I think the first thing that I saw from you was the theme settings API stuff that you were doing, which was really kind of cool. You want to talk a little bit about that and maybe some of the other stuff also that you've been involved in?
Theme setting API was basically I was trying to figure out how to add some customizable like checkboxes and pull down menus to the theme settings page when, you go into the administrative section and underneath a particular theme, you've got, you can check off whether there's showing the search box or the, primary links and all that stuff. And I've discovered when I was using my Zen debugger, diving into there, that there actually was an API in there where you could add your own form API element to it. And I'm like, oh, well, how come no one's doing this? Well, it turns out it didn't work with PHP template, which is crazy. It worked with like the plain vanilla themes that are pre-PHP template, but it didn't work with PHP template. And I'm like, this is just silly. it turned out it was the reason for it was because PHP template had the sort of feature that you could, edit the settings. Or sorry, what was the problem there?
Well, you could. I think if I remember correctly, you can turn on and turn off the ability to turn on and turn off these things in your theme. So you could say this theme doesn't even have a logo, so you can't turn on and turn off the logo.
No. That actually did work with PHP template. That sort of stuff you could do, and that was no problem. That was like there's a hook for that, I think. But the problem was that there was basically this. I can't remember how it worked anymore.
it was broken.
It was broken. It was awful. but the reason why it wasn't fixed was because with the plain vanilla themes, you could load the .dot theme file for another theme and not have to worry about it, killing the other functions that are in the, existing live theme that you're using, right? But with PHP template, you've got these PHP template underscore, variables, the function names are the same no matter which theme you're using. So if you try to load the other template file from a non-active theme, it just would just die. PHP would just go croak because you're trying to redefine a function.
Right.
Right.
No fun.
So that was the reason why it was broken and why they didn't enable it for PHP template. So it turned out you have to use like a whole separate file just for that theme settings hook. And it went through a whole long process of trying to get it to work. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stick this inside a contributed module so that people can start using it while we try to fix it inside core. And so that's what I did. And so that helped a lot because with when you have a patch for something that's kind of weird like this, people aren't going to go into the patch and, you know, write themes based on this patch to
or, right.
But when you had a contributed module, then you could go download the module, and if, you know, there are any issues, you can post to that issue queue rather than just making this huge thread on a core issue, and it really, really helped flush out that whole API. And we snuck it in at the last minute for getting it into Drupal 6, so
yes.
You don't need to need that module.
I saw that. That's amazing. So basically, so now there's a sort of an API. Is it just the form API or
yeah. It's a form API with a sort of pseudo theme hook. There's no better way to describe that, but it's like a hook, but just for themes, where it's
so the theme settings. Okay, right, because there is no form alter hook for mm-hmm. themes, because themes
no,
are
and you
are
wouldn't
non-modules.
Want one, by the way.
right. I guess it would lead to bad things.
Well, because if you had themes trying to do form alter, you know, there are times when your theme actually changes depending on which section of your site you're in, whether you're in an admin section. So you'd like have a theme trying to alter a form, and then when you submit it, it's a different theme, and it's not altering the same way.
Good, right. Good thinking.
Very bad very quickly.
That would be bad. Cool. Great. And so, yeah, and so this is in Drupal 6 now. We'll get more secret theming tricks in Drupal 6. Awesome.
And that's all fully documented, too. So, which was one thing that, like I said, originally I discovered this API, you know, the original API, when I was using a Zen debugger, because that was the only way you could discover it. There was no docs on it at all.
Right.
It was just a couple of lines inside the system module, which said, oh, by the way, you can pull this stuff in, you know. So I had to actually, you know, read the system module code to figure out how it worked originally. So,
yeah. Well, we'll get to some of that system module code in a minute, because you did some really interesting stuff with the Zen theme, particularly in Drupal 5. We'll get to that in a minute. So let's talk about other stuff you've done in Drupal. You're the maintainer of the code filter module now.
I am. Stephen Wittens was I believe he was the original maintainer. He wasn't the original writer of it, but he was the original maintainer for that module. And, you know, it's great. You know, we use it on Drupal.org. And, you know, he's not as involved in the community anymore. And so it was just basically abandoned. And he posted something to the development list saying, you know, I've got these modules, you know, we need maintainers for this. And nobody volunteered for the code filter module.
it's a little module, but it's sort of a difficult regular expression thing that it runs.
Oh, yeah. It's got some really funky regular expressions, but I've actually been using regular expressions since back when I was actually doing web development using Perl.
Wow.
but anyway, so I had good background for becoming the maintainer of the code filter, and maybe 4 months back I had gone through the code filter issue queue and I'm like, oh, you know what, these are all completely out of date, and I just, you know, updated everything, all the issues in there, even though I wasn't the maintainer at the time, just because I thought it needed some loving. And so then when nobody volunteered, I eventually did volunteer and say, okay, I'll do this. And so basically, the only thing that I've done is decide that I really need to write some simple tests for it.
just to see, yeah.
Yeah, because there's some really there's some bugs with it as far as not really parsing PHP code perfectly, but it works, you know, pretty darn good. But the thing is, since it's not perfect, I will need to map out exactly how it's working currently before I start messing with it.
I have a faint memory of someone I don't know if there was a module for this or I just found a library for it somewhere, but there's something that does syntax highlighting for like a wider variety of languages.
Oh yeah, the Geishi filter.
Right.
I think that's how you say it anyway. They took the original code filter module and then added the Geshe library to it to do all sorts of things. It's nice. We frequently, I can't remember the maintainer's name. Actually, I can go look that up. But
how do you spell that?
Anyway, let's see.
G-E-S-H-I?
Yeah, so G-E-S-H-I filter.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a Soxo fan, which is Stefan Lippens. He has posted some you know bug fixes to the code filter module. It's been nice, so... but yeah, the code filter, since it is used on Drupal.org, I decided actually before I began the maintainer, I was like, you know, we really need to focus just on PHP because you add all this other stuff in and it's just going to add bloat.
Yeah, exactly. it's
don't
messy.
Need that. It's running a lot better now, but certainly several months ago, that would have been a bad thing to add even more stuff that we don't use. So
cool. Keep it simple.
Exactly. So. Yeah, the only thing that I've had to do with the code filter is just, you know, make some decisions on some issues. And then there was a bug actually in Drupal 5.7 that broke the code filter completely. sorry, there was, no, let me reset that. There was a bug fix in Drupal 5.7 that broke the code filter. So,
It's all very twisty and turny. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. yes. Hence, this is what when you get Angie from Lullabot started talking about simple test stuff. This is exactly where she goes with all that. Yeah. So it sounds like you're of the same mind.
Yeah. I'm. You know, my to-do list is to finish reading. Actually, Angie and Robert both had some simple test articles that I got to read and figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on my to-do list, too.
I was just going to say, I think just about every developer, it's like number two on their to-do list.
Right, exactly. Right behind something that's way more pressing, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I encourage people, if you're going to DrupalCon, go figure out what simple test is, because let's face it, you're not going to do it at another time. It's always going to be cool. What's the page title module do?
You know what? That one, I've become a little less.
I'd rather not talk about that.
No. It's a nice little module for SEO.
I know this one. Yeah, yeah.
You can set a separate title in the the head section of your document from the the title inside the visual. Inside the viewport area of your document.
Yep.
So it's really nice for SEO, and I used it quite a bit on some sites that I've built. And the original maintainer, I'd have to look in the README file for that. I want to say it was Robert Douglas. Maybe it was different Robert, though. anyway, he basically, wanted to have somebody else take control, and both Nicholas Thompson and I sort of volunteered at like the exact same time. And so we were working together on a couple things in the 1.0 version, and then Nick has just, taken over just completely revamping the code in 2.0, and he's been doing a good job, and I'm just letting him handle it.
Cool.
So I'm just watching at this point, but yeah. So
you are currently the maintainer of the Zen theme project.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
The disclaimer is that I was the original author of the Zen theme. How did you get involved with the Zen theme and all that?
Like every developer wants to have the nice base theme to start with. And I had written my own based on, I don't even remember what, anymore. So I had a theme that I was using for my sites, and I was looking at the Zen theme, and I'm like, you know what? I really need to learn this and like start, maybe submitting patches to it and getting my code into the Zen theme. It was one of those things that was number two on my to-do list sort of thing. And then back last May, I believe, you started the Zen...
Zengine.
No, sorry.
The
Zentastic.
Zen Task Force. Yes, that was someone. I don't remember whose idea that was, but it was like, great, good. They caught me on a good day, and it was just like, great, let's do that. Let's get a whole bunch of people to talk about this.
Yeah, so you started a group over on groups.drupal.org, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to join that. And you were going to have a conference call to discuss all the issues. And I was really looking forward to the conference call. I was, you know, connected onto however we were doing it, and sat around for 15 or 20 minutes and while you were having technical difficulties, which I didn't know about, and then decided, oh, I guess it's not happening. And like, and as soon as I left, like a minute later, the whole thing started. I missed it completely. But I listened to it later because you put it up, the audio later, and sort of listened to that. And I think I had a similar reaction that a lot of the other developers who had come in and decided, hey, I want to, you know, want to get involved with the Zen theme. You'd given three or four of us actually CVS access to Zen.
Yep.
And then in the conference call, you were talking about, you know, your latest idea, which was the Zengine. And I hadn't done as much work with sub themes, so I wasn't exactly in the same space as you were as far as, oh my God, sub themes really suck under Drupal 5. So I think myself, like the other developers, said, okay, well, let's just see how this all plays out. And everybody just kind of sat around and waited and looked around, and basically nothing happened for 3 months after you released Zengine.
Yeah, it kind of fell apart. Yeah. I mean, it's because it sort of fits and starts with this theming stuff, because you sort of do it. Well, I mean, I guess it's that way with all Drupal projects. You do it, like, you know, I use it on a site that I'm working on, and then you don't really need to think about it till the next site. And you're like, oh, yeah. I should improve this thing and this thing. And
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I really didn't do anything with the Zen theme until September, when somebody actually posted, cross-posted to the Zen Task Force group and the theme developers group over on groups.drupal.org. And they were saying, hey, you know, what's a good base starter theme? And there was a huge discussion about, you know, different people, what different people use for their starter themes and their base themes. And there was a bunch of comments in there where people were like, you know, I use a Zen theme. There's some things I don't like about it, or I used to use the Zen theme, and I really liked the way that it worked, you know, except for these things. And some of the issues were, you know, people would, they'd have to completely remove all that sort of the
Drupal
the blue, oh gosh, I can't remember the name of it. All the blue stuff.
Yeah. Let's sort of talk a little bit about the history of the Zen theme and let's just take a moment to sort of step back and talk about why it exists, what it is, why it was needed at the time, sort of the idea behind it and the benefits. And to some extent, I'm going to need to remind myself a little bit because it's been a while.
I wrote a little small documentation about the history of the Zen theme. If you want to review it, you can look under it.
Well, I did notice that you actually, one of the wonderful things that you've added is we just did a podcast about this a few weeks ago, just documentation. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. All documentation is always wonderful.
Yeah, and it's an online documentation. So, you know, if other people who are have document privileges can go in and change the things too if they see any bugs in it.
Yeah. So. Deliciously blue. That was.
There we go.
Yeah. So basically, going back, it was the dawn of time, and the Drupal default theme was Blue Marine, right? Which was a table based layout. Meanwhile, off in the Jeffrey Zeldman, Eric Meyer camp of the internet, they were talking about not using tables to lay out your page design. And
they talked about that for about 4 years.
And it was feeling a lot like Drupal was really behind, particularly when it came to general. I mean, not just table based layout, but sort of the whole concept behind the web standards project, accessibility, just web standards stuff. But of course the problem with that stuff from the standpoint of a bunch of PHP developers is it's a pain in the neck. It's really hard. it's a pain in several places. We'll just say the neck. We'll focus on it being a pain in the neck. And so, you know, for instance, coming up with, you know, Drupal had this concept of you have these sidebars, and if you don't have anything in your sidebars, then the page is full width. And if you only have stuff in the right sidebar, then the left sidebar expands to compensate, or the left, you know, the center column expands to compensate. And all of that stuff, when you started non-table-based layouts, was really difficult. The CSS, you needed to tell it either a pixel width or a percentage, but that you couldn't dynamically generate CSS. And I even looked into the process of dynamically generating CSS with Drupal, generating it as a result of a Drupal page call kind of thing. And I mean, there were several problems with that. You're doing a double bootstrap of Drupal. There was a whole bunch of caching problems and.
The caching problems were the major issue.
Yeah.
You know, your browser would see, oh, well, this is a generated file.
Exactly.
And it wouldn't cache it. And it would lose all the great, you know, reasons to have a separate CSS file.
See, this is, you found exactly the same thing that I found. Exactly. That every time you reloaded the page, it would fully generate that CSS file all over again. And yeah, you just lost all the benefits. I still feel like there's probably some sort of a workaround for that. But anyways.
The workaround would be to do something like image cache.
Right. Well, or the way that the CSS aggregation is happening in Drupal 6, where it's actually a file that's generated in the files directory and stuff like that. Right. But the idea of coming up with a layout, and there were all these different philosophies, it still are, the holy grail of layouts, CSS based, column layouts. And I did a whole bunch of research and trying to figure out one and then try to sort of make it come up with a system where you could actually basically just have one, CSS class on the body that would tell the pay. I mean, it's not even really tell because it's not programming in the same way with CSS. But based on, the way that the cascade works in cascading style sheets, you could get something where the center column would expand out to be full width, or it would be one, two, or three columns or whatever. And so it felt like an accomplishment to have that together. And so it was like, oh, let's build a theme around this, and then also sort of strive again from that philosophy that when you talk about what's the word semantic web development or semantic web markup, there's, let's say, the title of your page should be marked up as a title of a page, regardless of where it's showing up on the page. Mm-hmm. And if you carry that through, the content of the page just gets marked up as the content of the page, and a list of things gets marked up as a list of things, and so on and so forth. And so in that way, there's this sort of idea of there being sort of the one true markup of the page. And that's also sort of where this Zen and the Zen theme garden concept comes together, is that yes, there's one markup and many designs that could be made from it. And so wouldn't it be great if there were a Drupal theme that just had this one true markup, and then you could just come along with your own CSS and images and create your own theme from it. And that was sort of the idea behind the Zen theme. However, I only got it so far. And then the other thing was, I'd thought at one point that this would be a really good starting core theme for Drupal. And while I still think it's a good starting theme for people, the problem with having it as a core theme is we found really quickly as soon as we started to submit it for Drupal 5 was that people said, it's a bad design. It doesn't look good. And so we took some design from somewhere, this deliciously blue, actually, and when I say we, I think it was Farshid from, he's now at Chapter 3, put it together and put it on the Zen, this sort of framework.
Yeah, and open source web design website.
Yep. And then we were able to say, see, it's got a design. And then of course, people were like, well, it's still not a great design. So it was sort of left with a design, and people would see the Zen theme and go like, eh, it's not beautiful. It's like, it's not about the design. It's about the underlying sort of HTML framework kind of stuff. Of which I should say, actually a fair amount of that stuff got in for Drupal 6, right? The whole page template layout mostly got in this idea of having classes on the body tag got in
as
well.
I noticed that when I was – I've started porting Zen over to Drupal 6, and basically a lot of the work is just ripping stuff out that's totally redundant. So
that's nice.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Again, maybe true to the name, the Zen theme should not exist. It should be a simple concept of, or something. I don't know. But yeah, so it sort of stayed in this state of the just deliciously blue with a lot of these ideas put together. And then I started thinking, gosh, you know, if it's a theme that's meant to be hacked, basically it's meant to be the starter theme, unlike the rest of Drupal where there's this concept of don't hack it. Instead, we were putting something out there saying, hack it, start with this, make it your own. But then as soon as people came back to the issue queue and said, okay, here's how I changed it, and now it's broken. It was, how do you even support that? And so then this concept of a Zen engine came into play of maybe having something sort of underlying that people wouldn't hack. And I started going off and working on that. And then you came in and started doing all this really awesome stuff with the Zen theme. That was just like, oh, this is, you know, I shouldn't even call myself the maintainer of this anymore. And I just gave maintainership over to you completely because it's like, you know, I'm busy with all my Lullabot stuff and my general being distracted. anyone that knows me, I'm good when you get my attention, but man, whew. Anyways, so that's sort of the history of it. That's why it's needed. Yeah. And the general benefits are this idea of taking care of a lot of this stuff that I think it's easy to take it for granted. I mean, I've done some building of sites on the Zen using the Zen theme recently, and you almost just don't even think about all those layout problems that we used to have. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to just kind of take it for granted. But as soon as you start to go back and build it from scratch, you realize like, oh, just having that layout file is like magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jump it back into when I got involved in it. I originally was just going through doing the same thing I did with the code filter, which is just go through the issue queue and try to fix all the things, all the bugs that were there. And I went ahead, even though I wasn't the maintainer, and like, oh, I'll just release an actual 0.7 release so that people can actually have something to tag against so that I don't have to say, well, just download the latest dev and you'll see that, you know, updates. I wanted to actually have something out there to differentiate in the issue queue what people are using. And then after I literally went through and fixed every bug that I could, I started looking at how to do sub themes properly, and realized just how broken it is, or not broken, it's not designed into Drupal 5 at all. You know? Drupal 5 just has this idea that you'll have these CSS only sub themes, which is lot less than what we wanted to do with the Zen.
Right.
You know,
well,
it was sort of the
concept that you could have CSS-based subthemes. You know, that again, it was this sort of utopian vision of then you could create a subtheme that's only CSS, except that when you got to the point where you're like, oh, it's only CSS, except I want to change just one little thing about the node, the node.tpl.php or something, and then all of a sudden
I think
there was also some sort of bloat stuff where I got this like big light bulb one. It usually happens on a Friday afternoon, and then I'll end up spending the entire weekend, you know, doing this thing, and it's like, hey, Zen subthemes can now have their own .tpl.php files. And that was...
Which was a great idea.
Which was a great idea, but then, again, I started sort of asking this question. It's like, is this actually... Am I really building a theme engine? And that was
the problem with the adding your own tpl.php was that as soon as you added the page.tpl.php, right. Drupal 5 went in and said, oh, you know what? This isn't a sub-theme of Xen. It's its own theme.
Right.
And just completely severs the connection with Xen.
Well, and that was also the problem, even with the Xen engine, aka Xengine, was that as soon as you created a page.tpl.php file anywhere, it was all of a sudden PHP template claimed it. So the Xen engine uses .xen.php files.
Which,
as opposed to tpl.php files, which is, again, also a bit of a hack. You sort of head off thinking, oh, this is a better solution. You end up with something that's, it's a different solution. But you came in and did, this is what we were talking about earlier, these crazy and interesting contortions with the system table and stuff. Basically, what would happen would be that PHP template would say, oh, this is a theme. And you have all this code in there that basically goes back in and tells PHP template, no. Tells Drupal, no,
back off.
Exactly, no, stop that. You slap it on the hand, and it works. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love my debugger. Let me just say that. all the stuff that I did was to be completely impossible without having access to the PHP internals. Going through the debugger, but basically, Drupal 5, the PHP template would see that page.tpl and go, this is mine, and it would store that information that, hey, this theme is a PHP template main theme, and it would store that inside the database. And then, the next call of Drupal, it would bootstrap and it would just be completely separate from your base theme, or from the Xen. And I realized that I could go in and basically inside subthemes template.php file, check and see, is it its own theme now, or is it a subtheme of Xen? And if it's its own theme, that means something's broken. And it goes in and does a SQL call and changes it back to Xen. And since it only does that when it recognizes that it's become its own separate theme, it only makes that SQL call once ever. And then, or actually, it makes that call once after you've gone to the theme settings page inside the admin section. Because every time you go to the theme settings or the list of themes page, it resets all that stuff. Drupal resets all that stuff. So PHP gets to try to reclaim it again.
Regardless, it was a bit of a hack. I mean, it's one of those things that you do and you're amazed that you can do it and it works. And you're not technically hacking Drupal, but it's just a workaround that feels like, oh, dear.
It's a total hack, but the nice thing is that since Drupal is, stable within its own branches, it's not going to break anything.
Right, right. And to some extent, this idea of a sub-theme having to live in the parent themes directory. So just to backtrack so everybody's keeping up here. the advantage is now we have the Xen theme that you don't hack, and then you create themes based on Xen, and you have this wonderful inheritance kind of thing. So you can actually create just a CSS-only theme, or you can create a CSS-only theme that just has one node.tpl.php file, and then inherits kind of its stuff from the parent theme.
It's basically CPS, sort of cascading PHP styles.
I like that. Oh, that's good. Let's write that down. And so, but of course, the problem is it still needs to be in the Xen theme folder. So you can't, like when you're upgrading the Xen theme, you need to remember, don't just replace the entire directory, because you'll blow away all your stuff. And also for people, like if someone inherits a project, it gets a little funny because you have to find the themes inside. They're not at the top theme layer and stuff like that. So all of that's a little bit like, and I should just say, all of that is now better and easier in Drupal 6 because subthemes themes that are based on other themes don't need to be within the directory of their parent, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot nicer, although I haven't yet really gotten into all the minutia yet. That's on my to-do list for porting Xen over to 6, because I want to make sure that, you know, Xen under Drupal 6 can do the same things that it can do under Drupal 5.
Yeah, yeah. And then another thing that you did as well, I noticed, is you changed the layout style to be even better than what we'd had
even
before.
Even more plain.
Well, even, but that, but also, well, the design style got more plain, but the actual layout, you got content first.
Yeah.
Content first, which was something that I'd wanted to do. Again, this is one of those things that, I don't know, I mean, people who have done this will know what we're talking about here, but probably people who aren't that familiar with PHP or even sort of, not PHP, with, you know, CSS layout techniques and stuff like that. But the idea,
the idea from an SEO standpoint is that you want to have your content at the top of your HTML. Because, you know, if Google's having to read through all this junk of your nav bar and your sidebars before it even gets to the content, it goes, oh, this stuff is way down at the bottom of the HTML page. It must not be very important. Well,
right.
Actually, that's the most important thing on this page. But, you know, Google has no way to know that. So the idea is you want to have your content first. And then suddenly you get, like, I've heard people say they've gotten, like, 50% boost in their rankings just from doing that one thing.
Wow.
That's totally unverified, but, you know. I've heard it's good. It sounds good. You know, I know that it does good things, but metric-wise, I have no idea the numbers.
Well, and again, from the semantic standpoint, this is the important stuff. I mean, if you were to look at the unstyled page, it's the important stuff. It should be at the top of the page. And so, yeah, I had not found a layout technique that worked that got the content first, but you did.
Yeah, well, I've actually been working on that CSS technique for about 2.5 years. It's the layout technique that I've been using for all of my sites for a while now. And that was part of the thing where I like, oh, I need to get into the Xen theme and kind of merge all these stuff together. And so, you know, I had seen all of those, you know, the Holy Grail layout and all that stuff. And they weren't quite really what they should be, even though it was called the Holy Grail layout. It really wasn't.
Even though it's called the most awesomest layout technique ever, it actually was not quite the most awesomest.
No. Yeah, Jesus would not approve.
that was one. I'm trying to think of the other ones. There was one that I think the one that they were using with Garland was something called like the jelly, something to do with gel, like floating jello technique or something like that. I don't remember what it was called. And
I just call it the Garland theme layout because I don't know where it came from either. So.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things about the Garland theme. When it just, I think I've said this on other podcasts, but the Garland theme was written to be a pretty good, a pretty theme for Drupal, which Drupal hadn't really had before.
Yeah, back when, you know, before Drupal 5, you know, the debate was between when they were looking at getting Xen into core, they're like, well, they decided. You know, they had the option of either putting something in there that's good to be a base theme or put something in there that's really beautiful and makes Drupal shine. And they decided that the more important thing was to make Drupal shine rather than make it easy for people to make it shine later.
Right. And
it was the right decision.
Yeah.
You know?
But
that's what Garland was for, and it did a great job of that. But it's not a good base theme.
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is just when people sit down for the first time and say, okay, well, I'm going to just start with Garland because that's Drupal's default theme, and what they find is it's very difficult because it always fades from my memory exactly what's difficult about starting with Garland because I curse it and walk away and then don't think about it again. But every so often I'll go in we'll do a theming workshop and I'll put it up on the screen and say, okay, well, let's look at Garland and what it does. And I'll just look at it. There's just some things in there that are just sort of bad. You know, when it comes to best practices, they are not, some other things like that.
You know, It works for that theme, but it wasn't. They didn't design the CSS to be modified. you know. So you start trying to tweak things things break, and then there's no documentation by it between, you know, oh, if you change this margin, you make sure you change this other margin on this other property 50 lines down.
Right.
You know, there's none of that.
Right.
So, yeah, that's why it was really difficult.
So, so going back to Zen, and I mean, and so there we wrote it with a lot of inline, a lot of inline comments and documentation and stuff. So that makes that part of it easier. This idea of having a separate layout. Actually, now there are currently two different layout files, right? So you have the sort of fixed layout that you can drop in, or, a fluid layout. And then you've redone the design thing. So we've lost that deliciously blue feeling, in favor of something that's just basically a blank slate that I think a lot of designers, appreciate. I know I do.
Yeah. It's a really nice, completely white screen with no styles even on like links, you know, it's blue with red, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever the browser defaults are.
And even some of the Drupal stuff that Drupal tries to put in has been taken out a little bit too. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, the thing that always annoyed me right off the bat was when I would add a table to a page and just see all this like zebra highlighting and funky, you know, left and right alignment, and like, you know, it looks great inside the admin section, but it looks really bad on just a regular page on your site.
Right, when you just want to have someone put a table in the content or whatever. And
yeah, like you just want to have a table where it says, you know, these are my contact information, right? Phone number, fax number, and then it's all, you know, gray background and
Right, exactly.
So yeah, I actually untheme all that and then add it back in just to the admin section.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And then, I'm trying to think of the other, well, first of all, there's this documentation now with Zen, which is nice. There's a whole lot of documentation on basically, you know, you've written all this great stuff, how to kind of walk you through the process of creating a Zen based theme.
One of my first jobs out of college was writing instructions for how to download software for tandem computers. And I got a lot of experience in trying to explain things to people who just really didn't read the instructions that well.
big numbers and lists and...
Step that was one. Totally invaluable to me in writing documentation nowadays. And I just try to be, you know, straightforward, list everything out that you would need, be clear and concise and unambiguous as possible. And I tend to be more verbose than a lot of other people, but at least you understand where I'm coming from.
Right, right.
Building your own sub-theme in Zen nowadays starts with this starter kit folder. And it's basically a template for you to get going. You just basically copy the whole folder, and then you do a couple, let's see here, six things, according to my instructions here, to make it into your own sub-theme, and you're ready to go. So
yeah, that's cool. It does feel a little bit like, why am I doing these things? When you're doing them, but once again, it's sort of like having done this the other way, you know, from scratch. It's sort of like you're doing these six things and you're thinking, why am I doing these things? But, you know, you only do these six things, whereas otherwise the list is like, you know, 100 things. And then going back and trying to make, you know, realizing that your layout doesn't work in Internet Explorer. And
Well, if you don't actually have to think, why am I doing these things? Because you don't have to think about it.
don't think, just do them.
Don't think about it, just do it.
That's funny.
And take it for granted. You know, after you've done the sixth thing, take it for granted, okay?
just send us a postcard or a beer or something. And so we've also, I had another, you know, crazy light bulb.
I accept BevMo gift cards, by the way.
Another one of these crazy weekend ideas was some stuff that I'd put into the Zengine. Which added some cool things that have now made their way into Zen. When you roll, if you have the appropriate permission as a editor of blocks, as a block administrator, whatever the permission is for that, when you roll over a block, you can, that pops up a little editing thing, so you can quickly go to edit those, which is kind of neat. I mean,
I've always wanted that in my themes, you know, because I'll put some content in a block for, you know, to be displayed on several different pages for a client, and then I'm like, how do I explain to them how they edit this?
Exactly. No, that's exactly the same thing I had. It's like, they're like, okay, so this right here is a node, and then they're like, what's that? And it's like, it's a different thing. How do I change that? You call me every single time you want to change it, and I'll tell you where to go. And now there's just a little, they roll over it, and there's a thing that says edit and or configure depending on what it is, and they can go. And if it's, it even is aware of, like, if it's a view-based block, it'll bring you to the views page and stuff.
Yeah,
like
when
that.
When you ported that feature over to Xen and posted that patch to the issue queue, I'm like, oh, this is definitely going in.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. Because there's always that, like, stuff like, I don't know, I did this crazy thing over with Xengine. I wonder if they're interested in it over at the Xen theme now that they're sort of separate. But tried getting them back in sync now. And then there was also that giant unpublished text. Did that make it in?
It did, yes.
Ah, that's cool too.
Yeah, I think it's good because there were a lot of issues in the queue where people were like, hey, you know, I've got this website in a couple languages, and, you know, the date time isn't being translated because originally it was, you know, hard coded in the submitted section of the node.tpl to PHP. And it was like, oh, well, let's undo that. And I'm like, oh, hey, that fixed it. So I knew that there were a lot of people using translated stuff and getting, I mean, originally the, it was a background image that said unpublished, which was nice, but not translatable at all.
Right.
So,
because I put the unpublished graphic. I can't remember if I'd written that for Xengine or maybe for Xen. I don't know.
It was in Xen.
It was in Xen. Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it was always untranslatable, and so I got this crazy idea to do this sort of layer based thing, and I don't know. Did you get it working in Internet Explorer?
Yes, it works in Internet Explorer 7, and with Internet Explorer 6 and 5, instead of being a background, it's just a really huge text right before your content.
Just lets you know. It's certainly unpublished. So
I mean, it's not like, you know, only people who can see unpublished content.
Right, exactly.
Not, so
yes,
it's not a big deal.
So what we're doing to some extent is bringing in some usability features at the theme layer here too. I mean, arguably this link to edit blocks maybe ought to be part of, I don't know, the blocks module, maybe.
I think what's nice though about the Xen theme is that, you know, as we saw with Drupal 6, some of those features do get into core, but, you know, being able to have a whole lot of people review them and see this feature makes it a lot more likely that it'll get into the next version of core. And,
yeah.
I kind of agree with Ora Miles, who's doing the view stuff. You know, if you've got it as a contrib module, you have a lot of control of really going through a lot of revisions of it, basically.
Yeah, it's a lot more malleable.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So, and it's just a lot easier when you have multiple issues of discussing a contributed module, a contributed theme, rather than just having one issue queue in the core issue queue, and those discussions are harder to follow and harder to contribute to.
Yeah. Cool stuff. I mean, and definitely, like, I think there's a few of these things, like both of those things, that unpublished graphic, or now it's a text background. So basically, if I didn't explain that clearly, when you have unpublished content or an unpublished comment, and you are an administrator who can see unpublished content or unpublished comments, it shows a big it used to be a graphic, but it shows text behind it saying unpublished, which is helpful because lots of times if you have content nodes set up to not publish initially, you'll post a blog post and go to bed and then realize the next day that nobody actually can see it because it's unpublished.
Or worse, if you build a view and you forget to add that, you know, one of the filters to be
show
only show published stuff. You'll have this unpublished stuff showing in a view, but then you can't actually view that item when you click on it because it's unpublished. and Drupal's default styling for unpublished content is like this, soft pink background, I think.
It's very subtle.
It's too subtle. It's more like a soft blush, like the content's, embarrassed that it's not actually published yet.
Yes, exactly. You really hit the nail on the head. And then also, I think these rollover, for people that haven't seen it, when I show them a Zen-based theme that has these rollover block editing things, they always go, "Oh, that's awesome! I want that!" And so, yeah, go get it. Cool. So I'm really curious to know. I mean, are you thinking of any ways that you'd like to change the Zen theme now that with all the new stuff you can do with theming in Drupal 6? Are there ways do you have anything like planned or like in your secret sort of hoping for kind of area of your brain?
Right now I'm just focused on getting it ported over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's like alpha stage code right now, So, it doesn't cause any PHP errors when you load it up.
That's good.
Which it did before. but that's about it. There's some things that are broken. Actually, I think the block editing... did I fix that last weekend? Well, anyway, block editing was broken up until about a week and a half ago. Might still be broken. I can't quite recall. I just need to get it just ported over, and then I'll release a beta 1 release so that people know, oh, hey, we can actually sort of play with this a lot better.
Cool.
I think some of the people have downloaded it just because they're like, oh, it's a Drupal 6 release, and then they don't actually read the release notes where I'm like, don't use this on a production site. It's totally bad still.
That's funny. Well, if people want to help, they can come submit review patches.
Yeah, and I've been
bugs.
Hinting at that in all of the Drupal 6 issues that pop up in the issue queue for Zen.
Well, let's be blatant about it here. If you're excited about all this stuff that we're talking about and saying, that's awesome, I would love to benefit from that. Yes, by all means, please come help. You can benefit in also, it's that karma thing that we do with Drupal. come and help, and it will help you.
I really like it. Like I said, I was working on that CSS layout for about 2.5 years just by myself. When I posted it in Zen, right before the 1.0 release came out, somebody was like, oh, by the way, this one thing breaks in IE6, I think it was. And I was like, oh, I had like no idea. Basically, with a liquid layout in IE6, the sidebars would disappear if you resized the browser window.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, crap. and fortunately, it was one of those has layout bugs and turned out to be relatively easy to fix. But just having people review stuff like that, and it makes it better. So
certainly.
Yeah.
So my fantasy is that I still am on the fence about whether Zen should be a theme engine or a theme, because the truth is it's a theme that you don't use, right? I mean, theme that you have in your list of themes, but it's really not the theme. You're not using the theme. It doesn't exist.
I totally agree. I mean, and when you look at like all the contributed themes on Drupal.org, and you see all the screenshots, and that's basically the way you're trying to attract people,
right.
And the screenshot was not that exciting when we were using Delicious Blue, and now it's even more boring.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Like this white block that says Zen.
Right. It's just nothing. Yes. Well. Yeah. And. Here's my idea, and I don't know, maybe we'll get there, but that the Zengine will actually just take the Zen theme. You put the Zen theme into the Zengine directory, and it makes a theme engine out of the Zen theme.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're only actually, it's just sort of this wrapper, and then we only need to just maintain the theme. And it sort of becomes a theme engine. I need to figure out if that's just crazy thinking or crazy talk, or if it's actually something that's possible. Because, yeah, because there is just that. What's that? It's crazy talk?
It might be crazy talk. Yeah.
I'm thinking of a car that flies in the air.
I mean, it's not like you have to activate the Zen thing.
No,
you
it's
just
true.
Have to have it in the folder there.
And I have to be honest with you. I actually kind of like the totally non-designed thing, especially when showing a site to clients that hasn't been designed yet, when you're doing what I sort of call a working wireframe.
And I actually added wireframes in there. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Sorry, go ahead.
And you know, when you're doing this sort of working wireframe kind of thing, and you show it to them, and they go like, you know, you talk to them about the functionality for half an hour, and you're saying, you can see here how you connect this thing to this thing, and when you got the functionality, you know, and then the first thing they say is...
Change that button that says submit to say something else.
that's what they say. Or they say, could the background be red instead of blue?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, So, you know, it's nice to have a theme that doesn't look like anything. Because they're like, it looks ugly. You say, yes. It just doesn't look like anything. Please don't look at that part.
Yeah. So. I saw there's a separate wireframes theme that was out there that's just used for that sort of purpose.
The wireframe theme. Yes, I have seen, but it's not Zen related.
But I thought that was a good idea. And so, if you have under Drupal 5, if you have the theme settings API module installed, it'll add a new checkbox in there that says, you know, add wireframes. And basically, you click that, and it adds like a dotted line around each of the main layout items. So, like, there'll be a dotted box around the left sidebar and around the right sidebar and around the content and header and footer and stuff like that. So
cool.
it looks very similar to what the wireframes theme does.
Right.
But you know, you can and try. It's better because. Using it in Zen, if you're going to use Zen as your base theme, because you can still build out your views, and if you do any views theme wizard stuff, you're doing it inside this other separate theme when you have to move all the files over, sort of thing.
Right.
If that makes any sense to people who use views theme wizard, let me know.
And I still have this sort of like. This fantasy about just, you know, very CSS-based kind of thing where you'd give it to someone, give the Drupal, somehow give Drupal, I don't know what that even means, to someone who was a CSS understanding designer, and that they would be able to make your site beautiful. And I think that the Zen theme kind of is that with this concept of sub-themes, but still, it does require all this. I still am wondering if, and Jeff Eaton, recently wrote, what does he call it? CSS Injector, which is basically, you know, a text area in which you can just start putting CSS. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we could start to get there somehow, sometime with the Zen theme where there was a module that would allow you to manipulate and maybe even do some of these magical six steps in creating a Zen theme, a Zen sub theme would be, you know, that a bunch of it would just actually be something that you didn't need to have FTP access or, you know, access to the files in order to be able to do.
One of the features that I added to Zen theme was actually to have a body class that is specific to the URL that you're viewing.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, if you're on your contact, Jeff page, it would actually add a body class that would say page-contact-Jeff, right? So you could add that ID selector to your CSS file and just have styles just for that page. I use that quite a bit on if I need like some specific tweak, you know, for one page. And I think it would work kind of similar. I mean, it's the same kind of fix that you're doing for CSS Injector,
right?
Where just trying to target this one page, you can do that just using the body class.
Well, that's the idea with CSS Injector, but I'm thinking that we don't even need something that specific. It's basically just, you know, a text area Where you can edit CSS for a page. I mean, a la...
Oh, that's true. You would still need FTP access to the CSS file.
Yeah, a la movable type or, you know, those kind of things. I mean, movable type is sort of where I got my feet wet with CSS development, was just in like, oh, okay, I can kind of see what this is doing here, and then editing it and hitting submit and seeing how the page moved around and stuff. It's very empowering. So, cool. Well, great. Awesome. It's cool stuff. And I want to thank you so much for helping to not only just move things forward and keep things going, but really improve the Zen theme. I know that there are some other projects out there that are doing sort of similar kinds of standards-based layout stuff, but I haven't really messed with them too much. I'd be curious to hear from those people or hear from other people who are using those kind of things. I know that there's like the light jazz theme that some people have had some really cool luck with, and maybe people want to come and comment on the podcast page. Tell us some about those. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, I know the light jazz theme uses the theme settings API because they posted an issue about it in there.
So you get credit either way. you're in there. Cool.
I think I find that CSS developers, once they figure something out, they tend to keep using that same thing. There's a lot of momentum issues on switching over to a different layout method, and I had that same issue. Like I said, I was using this technique that I had developed, and instead, I decided to convert Zen over to my method instead of the other way around.
Fine by me. I don't care.
When I did all of these things, I followed the issue queue. I looked at what people were posting in there, like, hey, can we do this? And there was actually an issue in there, like, hey, can we do content first? And you'd replied, you're like, if you could figure out how to do it, great, submit a patch. So I was like, okay.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, John Wilkins, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Hopefully we'll get to meet face to face one of these days. It sounds like you're not going to make it to DrupalCon.
No, it's like the week right, or actually it's like a couple of days before my son, who's in kindergarten, his spring break. So just doesn't work out.
Kindergarten spring break. You going down to Fort Lauderdale? Crack open some juice boxes.
And we're going to Circus, baby.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Well, we're not staying at Circus. We're just going there. Sweet. Don't stay at Circus.
Where kids learn to gamble. Cool. Well,
actually, I don't gamble at all, but it's a lot of fun.
I don't either. I don't have the like gambling gene or something. I go up to the slot machine. I put in a quarter. I pull the arm. And then this is what happens in my mind. I lose the quarter and I think, why would I want to do that again? That's about like what each time I go to Vegas, I lose maybe a quarter or two.
The first several times I went to Vegas, I would like lose like 20 or 40 bucks. I'm like, okay, this is kind of pointless.
It's still,
I could have just seen four movies.
It's still a spectacle though.
Well, the thing is, you can go there and look at everything. You don't have to spend the money on, slot machines.
Exactly. So you can spend your money on Blue Men and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Blue Men's lots of fun.
And the Beatles.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with Drupal.
It has very little to do with Drupal. And we apologize to people that had to listen to this part of the podcast. All right. Well, thanks again, John. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.